So welcome back, everybody, to another very special Blossom. No, I'm sorry, a very special episode of Father Fick Weekly. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Danielle.
Tonight, we have no cookies. We actually ate those earlier today. We have hot chocolate, made by Danielle. Mine has little pieces of chocolate, kind of floating around in them. Danielle assures me they're fine. Right?
Chocolate's good for you.
Is it?
Very much. Dark chocolate's awesome for you.
Is there a Dementors joke coming, or are you just talking about the chocolate?
Just talking about the chocolate.
Okay.
We're not watching Prisoner of Azkaban, so...
We can't. I loaned it to a friend. We're watching Chamber of Secrets, which is Danielle's favorite movie ever.
Oh, not so much.
Not so much? Do you own this movie?
No. I have one in three. I didn't buy two or four.
Any particular reason?
Well, for one thing, you have two and four, so... It'd be kind of redundant, but, you know.
I think I was getting into why don't you like the movie as much. That was where I was going with that.
I don't know. Although I say I don't like it as much, but then when I watch it, I'm always amused by it, so, yeah, I don't know.
Danielle has no earthly idea what's going on. We'd just like to point out, while we were beginning to record this, we were looking at the cast list of the movie. I would like to point out that instead of Robbie Coltrane being identified as Rubeus Hagrid, he is now apparently Hagrid the Giant.
Poor guy.
That would be new.
No one really knows what the Keeper of Keys and grounds. No one really knows what that means. So now they just call him Hagrid the Giant.
Well, he's Hagrid the Half Giant.
Yeah.
They couldn't fit.
He'd be a lot bigger if he was a full giant.
I think we should start the movie now.
Okay.
All right. So everyone, get on your main menu. Includes you too, Danielle. You know, whenever you're ready.
I'm going.
No pressure. All right, put your little cursor on play movie. And on the count of three, you're going to hit play. Now, this is when I say three. Now, some of you may be confused. How do you really know when I'm going to say it? Just use your best judgment. If you have to pause, you know, tonight's episode, because, you know, it's going to be like 2.5 hours long. Just if you pause us first and then the movie, make sure you start the movie first and then come back to us. And I'm sure you're very intelligent and can pull this off.
Or if you're very coordinated, you could hit pause on both at the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, what she said. Okay. So on the count of three, when I say three, you're going to hit play. One, two, three. Danielle is very coordinated and off we go. Here comes Dobby. Every person I give this movie to says they love Dobby.
Dobby?
Dobby.
How do you get Dobby out of that?
For mine. And I have one person who refers to Alan Rickman's character as Snap.
Ugh. Yeah, because the E is silent.
Dumbass. All right. This is the first Harry Potter movie. This is actually the first Harry Potter experience I ever had. I saw this movie with my friend Lindsay. I think in that commentary from last night, I said it was Sorcerer's Stone I saw first. It was actually Chamber of Secrets. And the story I started to tell was we got to the spider scene, and she became very, very scared, obviously, you know, watching the movie. And I leaned over and told her, I'm sure everything will be fine. And then she leaned back. I read the book!
Look at all those houses. That's
disturbing.
Yeah. Do you really think that there are that many houses that look the same in England?
I don't know, but it's seriously something out of, like, you know, Big Brother is watching you.
So Harry has upgraded from cupboard to Dudley's second bedroom. It must be nice to have, you know, a bed.
That must be nice. When did they take that picture? When did they take that picture in the first movie? Because they weren't really laughing.
Well, Colin Creevy wasn't there yet, so I have no idea.
This is true. There is Hedwig the Flobber Worm.
Although I actually pictured with Dudley's second bedroom, I pictured there being a lot of Dudley's old crap everywhere, but it's actually kind of clean.
You know what else is new here? I just noticed. He redecorates the bedroom between movie 2 and 3, and 3 the bed's in a different place. Because remember where he storms
yes.
into the room after he blows up Aunt Modge?
Aunt Modge!
Is he in the fat suit in this one?
Yeah, Dudley, I think so. I think so, because they did mention the actor needed a fat suit because the actor himself lost weight. He should be pretty big.
In his face, he actually did lose weight.
That was so mean to him.
I love the fanfics where Dudley is the perfect gentleman and he comes around. It's so amusing to read. actually, I hate those fanfics. No, I don't. There is actually one I've read that I liked very much, but we can't get into that now.
It's like the same dress she's wearing in... Oh, no, never mind. Sorry. I'm thinking of the deleted scene that I watched 10 minutes ago. I'm like, wait a minute.
That 3.9 GPA just keeps kicking in all day long, doesn't it, honey?
Oh, I love Dudley right here. I'll be at the door.
Look at Petunia.
She's a horse.
You were going to say she's a whore.
No.
Petunia's a whore. Fanfic writers, challenge for next week's Polyfic Weekly. Look at Vernon with a miserable...
No, look at Dudley. He's kind of lost in translation here. He's just staring. He's
watching the TV over Harry's
head. He's not blinking.
He's
just staring like him. Okay, kind of tuning everybody out here. God, there's pictures of Dudley everywhere.
It's Dobby.
Now, when I first saw this, what was your... Well, you wouldn't know because you hadn't read the books, but I don't know. I don't think this is quite what I pictured Dobby to look like. The ears, I didn't think the ears would be that, like, droopy.
I have to ask you, because I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan, were you actually picturing, like, an elf out of Lord of the Rings when you read that, or did you pretty much determine this is a smaller creature?
I think there's a picture of Dobby in, you know, the illustrations that are in the book.
Is it real?
I thought there were. Oh, you know, like, she does she does the chapter illustrations, and that would be, Mary Dupre or Grand Dupre? I always forget her name.
We have the British editions here. We're going to go through them. Danielle, comment.
That's a nice, what's he wearing? A pillowcase, right? He's wearing that nice little pillowcase.
Are there illustrations in this?
Well, there's usually chapter, I'm thinking of the U.S. editions.
I don't think the British editions have illustrations.
No, it's the U.S. editions.
Did you see this at the end of the British one? They have notes to J.K. Rowling. Thank you.
So meanwhile, we've got, you know, Dobby the masochist. Oh, and who is this guy? That guy that their guests, that the man looks so familiar. And I don't know who it is, but I'll look it up later.
Hey, everybody, I'm back. I'm Ryan. Okay, Dobby.
See, he looks a little different in the... If any of you have the U.S. version of Chamber of Secrets, just the paperback.
Did you just forget the name of the movie?
No.
She just checked the front cover of the book before she said Chamber
of Secrets. But if you open to chapter 2, there's an illustration of Dobby. And, you know, it's very similar, but the ears are a little different.
He's actually standing with his hand in his hip. He looks like he's about to...
No, it's on his back. He's bowing, but...
Looks like he's going to break into dance. What's in his hand there? It's like a little... He actually is holding Michael Gambon's cap, if you look. He Who Must Not Be Named.
Okay. Alright. Back to the movie.
Oh, there's a movie on? Stupid, stupid, stupid! I love the cut-in on Vernon right there. It's like they fly the camera up his nostril. Give me that, give me that! As you can tell, I'm much more caffeinated in this commentary. I believe I fell asleep last night sometime after the Quidditch task in the latter portions of Philosopher's Stone. For a second, I'm sorry, I thought he was actually flipping off Harry right there. Apparently not.
He's got a little sock on his ear.
Oh, we should put the subtitles in. Busted!
He pulls these letters out of nowhere. You know, where'd those come from?
What's plugged in the background there?
Well, I don't know.
That'd be the flobberworm's cage, maybe it's heated.
No!
I love it! If I just stand very still, he won't see me. Foreshadowing to the basilisk. Can you picture Dobby as the basilisk?
No. That is the ugliest pudding I've ever... who would want to eat that?
I don't know. Danielle and I were watching the Food Network earlier.
That's some lovely food coloring.
Barefoot Contessa cooked it. those of you who don't know, Danielle's about to become a pastry chef in 5 weeks, and she's a little sensitive when it comes to cake decoration.
Well, that's a pudding, though. That's a little different.
No difference. Getting the evil eye right now from Danielle.
It's funny, because I'm actually looking at the TV screen, you know, watching the movie.
Is the movie on? I love the confused look on Vernon's face.
Oh, I know who that guy is. The guy right there on the left. He's in a show called Father Ted. He's the bishop.
Oh, yeah!
The crazy bishop!
That's right. For those of you okay. who don't watch British comedy, your lives are just...
Not complete.
Not complete as they could be there.
Father Ted is hilarious.
I've never contemplated Vernon in overalls before. This is what I don't get. Why do they hate him so much that they would rather be miserable with him there than just let him go and be free of him? I just don't get that.
Because they want him to be unhappy.
I know, but they're making themselves unhappy, making him unhappy. You'd think they just want to get rid of him.
But knowing how weird the Dursleys are, they're probably more miserable knowing that Harry might be happy.
They're getting something out of this. There's something in that arrangement with Dumbledore. They're getting something out of this deal. Danielle and I talk sometimes, you know, if I ever get hit by a bus, you know, who would she rather be with? And John Crichton from Farscape, you know, is the number one pick. But I think Fred and George Weasley are somewhere in the top five.
I love Fred and George. They're my favorite characters in the book. They're so funny.
She wants to squeeze them.
Oh, stop. Seeing this in the theater, the minute Ron says, "Hi, Harry," everyone in the theater is like, "Whoa, his voice changed."
Ron hit puberty in the car.
Right. Fred and George, meanwhile, look exactly the same. They don't really look that much.
I love how they brought the rope and they brought the chain and the off chance they needed to like break through bars.
Yeah, apparently they don't know the spell yet that they could just use their wands to remove that. But
well, they actually don't have wands. I believe they use the Inspector Gadget, you know, gadgets.
No, what am I saying? They couldn't use their wands because they're still underage.
They're driving a car.
Well, Fred and George aren't, but all I'm saying is they actually couldn't use their wands anymore. Oh, God.
Bloody pigeon!
There he goes. Oh. Good thing he has some padding there.
To those of you listening to this, I want you to tell me, how many times have you jumped out of a building, but because you landed in a small bush, you've been absolutely fine?
Well, he's got some,
Did he just yell, "See you next summer"?
I don't know. You were talking, so I couldn't hear it.
Danielle insults me so much, I just can't even hear it anymore. She beats me.
Oh, shut up. And here we are at the Burrow, which looks awesome, I think.
I love that they have pigs. I don't know what they actually do with the pigs, but I just love there are pigs.
But we don't actually get to see the garden gnomes, do we?
No.
Ah, that would have been nice. Get off
me! I love the interior of the Burrow is...
That's exactly how I pictured it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
This is what I saw beforehand, so this kind of formed my...
Well, yeah. See, by this point, I had read books 1 through 4 before I saw this, so I'm like, wow, that's the Burrow. It looks just like it.
Mum will never know.
And the clock. I love the clock.
I think the clock in the books becomes portable, doesn't it? Molly can walk around with it.
I don't know.
Yeah, she does, because she throws it in the laundry basket.
Oh, right.
I love it. Have you been? I love how they hide the food.
Oh, what an outfit. She is stuck in 1960.
I have a friend who I turned on to the Harry Potter series, and she said that Molly Weasley, my friend is, I think, 50, and Molly Weasley reminds her of her best friend in high school's mother, because she could be literally screaming at her daughter. While then turning to my friend, saying, "Could I offer you a soft drink?" And it's just, well, not with the British accent. That was unfortunate.
When here comes the future Mrs. Harry Potter.
Did she just say it was on the cat?
I think she did. Oh, this is before Ginny becomes so brazen and just kisses Harry and Half-Blood Prince.
Half-Blood what?
Prince.
We believe in after the end here, dear. I love Arthur.
I love the Weasleys. So, I want to be a Weasley. They're both so well cast. Yeah, they are.
Here comes the best line, or one of the best lines in this movie.
Well, not this, but...
I don't like how they play Molly in the scene. The Molly from fanfic and the Molly from the books, I think, would be screaming mad with smoke coming out of her ears, where she's like, oh, there's an incorrigible kiss.
Yeah. Picard. Well, in the book, she was livid.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of poor. I love this. Open mouth, insert pancake. That makes it.
Look at Percy's hair.
I know, but why did he get there?
Well, we weren't looking.
Maybe I was talking. I just love Arthur shakes his head.
Percy some coffee, man. He's out of it.
He's about to become a snob. Give him some space.
Oh, God. And here comes Mrs. Weasley's horrible, horrible line.
I like if you notice that one point.
Oh, God. Yes, yes, because we forgot about Diagon Alley.
If you happen to notice
where do you shop again?
If you happen to notice it, right when they said, we'll manage, Harry looked very, evasive.
Well, he wants to help.
Because he feels bad that he has money and they don't.
And I think it's, I think it's Jen's comment on the forum. I just love it. She's like, who would want to travel by flu? I mean, you come out all dirty. Like, you get nauseous traveling that way. Who would
want
to do
that? That's what happened. Ron missed the train in Sorcerer's Stone and had to flew onto the train, causing the dirt that Hermione comments on. Now, how Diagon Alley turns into Borgin and Botts, or
Nocturne Alley? I mean, Borgin, I don't know.
Where is it? Borgin and Burks?
Borgin and Borks. So, where's the box? Stand back.
I think there's an explosion every time they go.
I thought he did.
For those of you who have ever seen Star Trek The Motion Picture, they have a transporter in that movie that takes about 45 minutes to go from beginning to end. So you can never picture like them, beaming onto like an alien ship and catching people by surprise. Whenever you read fanfics, they flew directly into a crisis. Here it takes like half an hour to get the whole Weasley family out of the burrow.
Yeah. I wonder if it just must be an inexpensive form of transport. I mean, for them to do it.
Well, you can take young children with you. And you can.
Right. Well, before we started the movie, I watched all the deleted scenes. I gotta say, I wish they left this one when Lucius comes in with his goodie bag of dark objects.
There's actually two. Did you see the other one? There's one where Harry hides in the
cabinet. He hides in the cabinet.
And there's another one where right after this, he leaves and Burke grabs him at the door.
And asks him if he needs
help
with anything.
They're alternate scenes, because they obviously couldn't have all happened. It's Borgin and Burke, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he just leaves.
If you look here, you can see when he walks out with Hagrid, you can actually see the complete set. I think it's Harry Potter 1 through 4 in the window of a shop just as they cross into Diagon Alley. Oh, we were talking in the last book about how it's all interconnected streets.
Yeah.
Diagon Alley must just be the main street.
Yeah, whereas this is kind of like an offshoot of it. Look at all these sketchy people. Ugh. Like parasites. They're just like leeching onto them.
It's nice to be friends with the big guy, isn't it? Yeah. Alright, look on your the left-hand side of the screen here, just as Harry walks out, you can see the whole series right in the window.
Vaguely. It's kind of tough to see.
There's a... I think that's Goblet of Fire right there in the beginning.
Yep.
I like that. That's the exact establishing shot we had from the first movie there.
So it just gives you a different perspective that, you know, those bad parts of town, I guess. Oh, and look, her hair is remarkably not frizzy anymore. She's just so beautiful now.
Well, look at the bright side. At least they didn't screw up and let her do underage magic.
Yeah, I know. What's up with that?
Who's supposed to do it, Mom?
I hate stuff like that because they're just throwing that in because she did it in the first movie, and it's it's aggravating.
I think we're too hard on the Harry Hermione shippers. If they've seen any of the movies, I mean, it's completely natural.
Although for as much as the casting that they kind of get wrong, I think I love when they get it right because I think Kenneth Branagh is perfect as Gilderoy Lockhart. He just plays it so well.
Was Hugh Grant the alternate?
I think that, yeah, was he? I believe so. But I like him better. Kenneth Branagh in this role. He's so good.
Look at Molly. She's completely covered in soap, but she's making sure her hair looks nice.
Why didn't she do the Scourgify charm? They should have left out Oculus Reparo to put in Scourgify. Because that's what they do. They want to stay dirty.
I think you're a little bitter.
Well, it's just not realistic. If Molly's all of a sudden going to meet Gilderoy Lockhart, she's going to make herself look nice.
Harry gets bounced around so much, if you notice.
Look at Hermione.
I like it. It's like Ron surrounded by the pod people.
Yeah.
How often is it that Ron's the common collective one in the group?
I know it.
He spread it up.
Oh, yeah. He got tall.
Well, it's his hair wasn't slicked back in the first one, was it?
Yeah, it was. It's a little bit whiter, which I like in this one. So they gave him a lighter color blonde hair.
All right. The drinking game this evening, for those of you who have shot glasses handy, you were to take one generous shot of any alcoholic beverage of your choice whenever you hear the following word. Tonight's word is Potter.
Although I like in the books, he gives Ginny the whole set of textbooks, doesn't he?
Let's find out.
Well, no, you don't have to look it up. I'm just saying. I think he gives them to her because he...
Oh, it's my pleasure,
Schnookums. It would have been expensive to get a whole set.
It is my pleasure, Schnookums. All right, let's take a look.
Oh, look at Ginny.
Foreshadowing.
Ugh, Jason Isaacs. How good is he?
Like Sue from Pottercast fell off her chair.
He just, like, oozes evilness. I love it.
He's definitely oozing something. Right. No, he looks confused because actually Dumbledore isn't supposed to say that until later in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Or did he say that in the first movie?
But Hermione is so wise beyond her years.
When does he say that? Does he say that in Philosopher's Stone or does he say that in...
Oh, look at Hermione's parents.
For those of you who are...
the dentists.
For those of you who read after the end, you'll be cheering up right there. But if not, you know, PotterficWeekly.com is where you most likely found this podcast. Go start listening. Episode 1. Okay. Still looking at the book. Will I hurry up? You can't entertain our listeners for a few minutes? He does.
You know, the scene wouldn't have been so bad if, like, the Weasleys had cleaned themselves up, but they literally look dirty. Oh, awful.
Actually, he does. Harry gives Ginny his
books. Yeah, he gives Ginny his
books. And those are the other books in her little cauldron there.
Oh.
I think Harry could have figured out something just happened there.
Yeah. Arthur's like, I so want to punch you in the face, but I'm not going to do it.
Does Lucius work at the Menstrual? I'll see you at work.
What does he do, actually?
Maybe he's a landscaper.
Or a hairstylist. I almost just picture them as independently wealthy.
You think he works for, like, a cable company or something? I can picture him on the flute. Would you like to change your long-distance carrier? I have to tell you, Molly's styling.
Oh, yeah. I love the little cape.
Love how she ducks her head as she runs through.
She's so cute. The Weasleys are so adorable. This has got to be painful. I feel bad for Hedwig. Oh, man!
Ron flips over and lands on Hedwig.
That is all the same guy. I love it. I love that they got the same guy. Damn kids. I don't know. Why did they cut it so close?
I love the line just in the book. Ron, it's not in the
Ron,
movie.
They can apparate.
Well, why don't they apparate? Oh, maybe they don't want to show up in front of the Muggles. I love McGonagall's line. It's not in the movie. It's in the book. Why don't you just send us an owl and just
you
tell us
Hedwig.
You were trapped.
I mean, Hedwig's right there with him. You can send an owl.
And there's just like that moment of silence
and they're
where
like,
they're like, oh, we're 12.
We're 12, and it's much more fun to watch us fly a car.
I like the deleted scene where they almost crash into Big Ben.
Oh, yeah. And the guy in the taxi's kind of staring up at them. Flying car.
I have no earthly idea what he's saying in this movie.
Who, Ron?
His accent is just...
I think Hermione has the strongest accent, or Emma Watson. She's got a pretty strong...
You mean Emma Watson has something that's super duper?
Oh.
Now, because the movie didn't have enough action, we're going to deviate from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the novel, and we are going to go into a completely other fictional work where a train almost hits a flying car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and there's that look.
And there's
that
Ron's look of indigestion that he manages to display throughout, like, all the movies.
As with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Ron does not have three-dimensional thinking down. He did not think he could just pull the car up over the train. Instead, we have to fly upside down over and around.
Do you think, like, the kids on the train can see that?
I was just thinking, could you imagine Hermione just sitting there like, what?
I know, what's Hermione thinking? Like, where are they? Oh, come on.
I love how he has to explain
the
to
worst thing that happened in the book is, like, they got sweaty because they were flying up closer to the sun than they wanted to be. I mean, the worst thing was, like, oh, it's hot. But now, apparently, Harry's going to die. He can't defeat the Dark Lord because he's going to fall out of the car.
You have to admit, he's supposed to be the Dark Lord, and he actually can't even stay in the car without falling out of it.
Lock the door.
That would have been a great line if he just reached over and hit the lock. I like that little beat right there. He turns on the light.
Yeah, it's going dark out. Here's the thing. They leave at, 11 o'clock, 12 noon, whatever. By the time they get to Hogwarts, it's completely dark.
How do you know how to get to Hogwarts, anyway?
They just follow the train.
That's true.
I mean, I think from Hogsmeade, you can probably figure it out. It would have been funny if they just fly right into Snape's, like, dungeon or something. Although, that wouldn't really be possible, but it would be funny. Harry, it's not a broom.
it's
Ron's scared noise that he's so good at making. Oh, God.
Does Ron think hitting the steering wheel yelling stop would help?
That's not a real spell, is it? Well, now they just made the tree angry.
Look at Rupert.
Bro, and it was a hand-me-down wand anyway.
It's hard to believe they put him in Gryffindor.
Yeah, no kidding. So Ron's just kind of comic relief for me. That's how I have to put it, because otherwise I just get annoyed with him. But I'll just look at him as comic relief.
They definitely improved this tree in
Azkaban. They did.
It seems so mechanical right here.
Yeah, the tree definitely is way better in Prisoner of Azkaban. Dangerous thing to have on the grounds. It's a tree. Get too close to it, it'll kill you.
It's hard to believe Hogwarts can find a decent insurance carrier, isn't it?
I love this. Get out of my car! And take your crap with you.
Poor Hedwig.
Yeah, no, poor Hedwig. I think Harry catches her.
Oh, poor Peter Pettigrew.
I don't feel bad for him. Yeah. I just love that Arthur works for the misuse of Muggle artifacts and, you know, he's got a flying car.
Did Hagrid's hut get...
It's the same in this
one. It's the same hut? Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't move into the larger...
Looks exactly the same.
He doesn't move into the larger studio until next movie.
Right.
That's a great line. We just get killed by a tree.
Well, at least they gave Mrs. Norris red eyes.
Father Cass definitely ruined that line for me.
He's so irate. I love it.
He looks like a really pissed off used car salesman. Yeah. He actually looks constipated in this scene. It's not just the anger, it's just like the anxiety. I have to say, Richard Harris is obviously dying from cancer. Is he? I believe this is his last role, isn't it? In this movie. Maybe his last role. I have to tell you, stricken with cancer, Richard Harris is twice the actor that Michael Gambon is.
Yeah, because, well, I'm sorry, when did Gladiator come out? Because I know he was in that.
She's whispering, like, you don't know, trying to look it up. Yeah, that line confused me. It implies they're going to be expelled at some point.
No, I just think it's sort of, you know, I can't promise, you know, I have no idea what you guys are going to do in the future, but I'm not going to expel you today.
Yeah, it seemed more like foreshadowing to me.
Everything's foreshadowing to you.
That's fair. Oh, no, he had a few more roles.
Yeah, okay. He was in Julius Caesar.
Was he ever contracted for Prisoner of Azkaban, do we know? Now we have the head of my house.
Okay, Alright, Gladiator came out before even the first Harry Potter. Okay, so, never mind, I was way off. Well, he's Irish. He was born in Ireland.
I mean, we're doing a commentary. Do you have to be reading that now?
Okay. I love Professor Sprout. She's another one. I love the casting.
Well, she's from my house. I'm from Hufflepuff myself.
She's great, though. And I love this whole scene. I love just, you know. I love the herbology class. I like that in this we get to see some different classes that they're taking. Since, you know, by Goblet of Fire, they apparently never go to class.
Oh, no. You ever realize in the movies they have all the houses mixed in every class?
Yeah, that kind of bugs me, but that's okay.
Susan Bones is actually...
Look at Draco! Oh, I don't want to mess my hair up.
Susan Bones, the actress who plays her, is related to someone. Because she's prominently shown.
Oh, yeah, she is, isn't she? Oh, those are great! I love the way they did the mandrakes. Those are great. Oh, look at their little faces. I love it. They're like...
I think these in the nose.
See, look at Seamus is still short.
Oh, come on.
He's your best student. He's good at herbology.
He's your best student.
I just think these little things that J.K. Rowling writes are so creative when she writes about the mandrakes that they kind of grow up and go through a life cycle like humans do. It's like, and when they start getting acne and moving into each other's pots, then it's ready, like, to replant them or something.
Susan Bones, played by Eleanor Columbus, who is the daughter of director Chris Columbus, who, when he disappears after this movie, apparently takes Susan Bones with him.
I guess she wasn't good enough to stay on.
One of my favorite fics, actually. She's Harry Potter's girlfriend for a while, so... Mm-hmm.
So spell tape looks like scotch tape.
I think it is scotch tape.
They kind of phoned that one in.
Oh, Errol, I miss you in the last movie. I love how the entire hall stops because one owl's here.
Because one owl.
He like falls in the Doritos.
That's the biggest bowl of chips ever.
He's dead.
He's like dead. Like, okay, I'm gonna leave now. Oh, the howler! Yay!
Poor Neville.
He's nodding at it.
I think it was your brother Danielle who commented that the Weasleys are so poor they couldn't afford to send Ginny her own letter, so they had to include the congratulations at the end of Ron's howler. I love how she flips him off.
The Weasleys are poor.
My other favorite fanfic says Dumbledore so up. I'm sorry, Molly so upset at Dumbledore for what she does for what he does to Harry that she sends him a howler.
Me.
I love Rupert's look.
Oh,
right there.
I love how he's redecorated the room.
Oh, this is great. Watch the.
Again, they nailed this part. They nailed his character and how smug he is. It's fabulous. Oh, in the book, I remember reading when he's going on and on about, like, oh, it's actually at the end, closer to when they're going to go into the chamber, but he says something about, you know, oh, he banishes an Armenian vampire or something. And it's funny because they mention Armenia and... My family, my father's side of the family is all, we're all 100% Armenian, so to me it was just kind of cool that J.K. Rowling threw that in the book. Pixies! Draco's like, oh, don't let him out, they might mess up my hair.
Sorry, I'm not commenting on the movie, you're just watching the movie.
Jeez.
Oh, Neville.
It's always Neville. are pixies really a dangerous creature? Or are they just annoying as hell?
I think they're annoying as hell. There's like 50 of them.
Yeah. Good
Chris
shot!
Chris Columbus, that reminds me of the tarantula at the end of Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whose wand is that?
Maybe it's Neville's. Oh, it's awful.
I love the one
The painting is even, he runs away. That's what Professor Lockhart does best, he runs away. You know, all of them.
If only we had a superhero to save us. Oh, there she is.
How'd he get all of them? That's a nice shot of Hogwarts.
So this is still your least favorite movie, Daniel?
See, that's what I'm saying. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, it's kind of good. Oh, it's Oliver. He's even cuter in this movie.
Honey? Sitting, like, right here.
Oh, sorry. Just kidding.
Okay.
And Flint's just as ugly.
There you go.
Oh, he is, though. He's hideous. Oh, look at... That's great, though. Look at Ron's robe.
I like that they
Ron's
get that,
robe is
it's
going to
be like his great-grandfather's robe.
It's all worn out.
They finally get that right. I don't like this scene, though. I don't like how Hermione doesn't... I'm sorry,
no,
I don't like how Hermione knows when the Mudblood
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she had no idea. She,
of course,
how would she know?
Well, she's super Hermione. She has
I mean,
access
what did you read about it in a book, Hermione? I mean, it's... Yeah, I don't like that they changed that. Her face is really small compared to her hair. Well, at least Ron defends her.
Try so hard.
Unlike in, other movies where he's like, we've got a point, you know.
Yeah, it's a Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, God, this is so gross. Although, I gotta say...
This is basically the high point for Rupert Grint in this one.
In the books, when I read this, I pictured him, like, throwing up many little tiny slugs. Like, spewing them everywhere. I think it's actually grosser this way, because they're huge.
No, I don't get. What magic did he just do? He said, eat slugs. There was no Lavin, what is that?
Well, maybe that's like,
wordless magic? What do you call it?
I don't know. Maybe it's... See, I would have gone to Madame Pomfrey. What is that? Is there something
say,
he can
Hagrid
has
do? Quite a large ass.
He's got quite a large everything.
His ass is especially, pronounced. I do like him in the scene, though. Robbie Coltrane's one of the high points of these movies.
Yeah. Oh, look at Ron. Oh, God. It's green. Poor kid.
You're not supposed to know what it means.
You're supposed to be like, huh? Why should I be insulted?
Then you're supposed to be so moved that Ron would do that, and then you want to go off and have babies with him.
Oh, poor Ron. Let's get another one coming up.
That's horrible.
Oh. Oh, he likes the word codswallop.
In other words, the Malfoys are all sleeping with their sisters.
That's lovely. No, but even
this is a great
but it's written in the book too that like in the Black family tree, they just write off the people that aren't pure.
I'm sorry, this is a great moment right here. Don't get me wrong, I think it really means that Hagrid's done for in Deathly Hallows. But...
Oh, I know. I miss Hagrid.
Yeah, you're right. In the first movie, they send him into the forest and he almost dies in this
he
movie.
He almost dies in this movie. He gets to, fold up letters and...
Well,
you know what?
Which
might be worse.
Yeah, well,
this
I'm
guy
trying
is,
to think of the intent on McGonagall.
This guy is so full of himself. Does Does it seem to happen awfully fast, too, that he all of a sudden is hearing? Well, I don't know. I guess you have to in a movie, but it seems like, wow, he's already hearing voices.
Well, Ginny had to open the Chamber of Secrets. Well, yeah, how long have they been back at school? They've had at least one class.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long, that's why. I know, it just seems kind of rushed.
Oh, if you didn't know, Ginny opens the Chamber of Secrets. Sorry about that.
Oh, God. 4 hours of fan mail.
I love that. Podcast ruined that line for me, too.
Well, I missed. I would have loved to have seen the Nearly Headless Nick's Death Day Party. That would have been awesome to see on screen.
You know, let's talk about this here. Whenever we talk privately about these movies, we always talk about how much we enjoy 3 and 4, and we almost write the first two off as, like, the kids' movies. When you think about it, these books are so much more closer to the canon.
Well, they are.
It's interesting. It's when we watch them, we seem to enjoy them more and complain less, but then when we're not watching them, we complain about these ones more. It's interesting how we do that.
3 by far is my favorite of the movies. I think Dan Radcliffe's acting has definitely improved by then. Hermione, they make her character way out of what it is in the canon, but I don't know. Prisoner of Azkaban, like so many fans say, it feels like a Harry Potter movie. It has the right tone, it has the right atmosphere.
This one does seem like a continuation of the first.
Yeah. Do you know what? The music is almost the same. They could have done more with the soundtrack to help it feel distinctive, but it doesn't. Yeah, because see right now in the book...
How the hell did Ginny get up there?
In the book, they would have been coming back from the Death Day Party, I believe.
Right. How did Ginny get up there?
Ladder?
You think Ginny's walked around with a ladder?
Just a guess.
Okay. And here comes everyone in the school who's all walking in one big clump. I will repeat. Who's Mr. Norris? And here's the other half of the group.
Oh, here come all the Slytherins. Why is Madame Pomfrey out there?
Everyone take a shot. No, like, I'm sure it's another cat.
My only friend. He's crazy. I'll kill ya!
You so don't need any.
Yeah, I know.
Goblet of fire. Oh. You can just tell his voice.
His voice is much weaker.
Although, he still gets 3 movies after this, so maybe not. I love the curse that McGonagall's about... I'm sorry, the look McGonagall's about to give him.
No! Like Dumbledore, yeah, okay.
It's just a little head tilt. Dame Maggie Smith, I love that woman.
What? Because we were at a Death Day party.
I love that one.
He's like, oh god, you stupid git.
Can you notice we're starting to talk more British since we've been
reading? Well, I was trying to, you know, think what Snape might be thinking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Elba's line.
He's so much better when they don't try and make him into.
Oh, Filch is great. Ugh. Who's that guy that plays him anyway? He's good. He's like, yes, I'll make you.
Unfortunately, Professor Sprout can't speak anymore in this movie, or else they'll have to pay her extra so she can just nod appreciatively.
Ugh, stupid staircases.
Have we figured out why the castle is still 58 stories tall?
No idea. I mean, I thought the tallest part of the tower is where Trelawney's class is. But that's not that high, is it?
You think that the Hogwarts was actually otherwise known as the Sears Tower?
Yeah. Oh, wait, we modeled it after the Empire State Building.
How do you know? You're a Muggle-born! I'm sorry, I got a little excited there. Well,
she reads a lot.
No, she's super Hermione. Ron is pure blood. Ron has been the wizard for life. He's supposed to know this. Oh, thank God, Professor Binns is class.
Yeah. They're like, oh, wait, we didn't introduce Professor Binns in movie one, so he just doesn't exist.
I'm telling you right now, at the end of Order of the Phoenix, when...
Yeah, how are they going to do that?
I mean, I'm telling you right now. No, we're putting money on this right now. When George and Fred make their triumphant exit over Umbridge, you know, near the end of Order of the Phoenix, Nigel will stand and salute them as they leave the castle.
Nigel.
It's Nigel with the Brie. Wouldn't it be great if he just turned into Peter Pettigrew right there?
I'm surprised the wand did that much.
No, wouldn't that be great, though, if he just turned into Peter Pettigrew?
Oh, damn.
That would completely, like, negate the need for the third movie.
Is that an armadillo? That was a weird-looking pet, whatever it was.
Well, I will
it's like
say,
a monkey over there on the right.
I just want to say, though, I am glad they gave Maggie Smith something to do. I believe she has... Well, she has one great scene in Goblet of Fire. Unfortunately, that scene was nowhere in the...
Yeah, but you said you liked the dancing
I scene. I do. I was actually just thinking, every scene I think she has in... Goblet of Fire wasn't actually in the book.
Yeah.
It was that scene that was the hell with Barty.
The hell with Barty? And his rules!
The hell with Barty! Okay, they're gonna get tired of this.
See, there are lots of good parts in the movie.
I know, but they're not in the book. It's an 800-page book.
I know.
Plenty to choose from. An armadillo, I disarmed.
Justin Finch Fletchley is a very strange looking character. They got a really odd looking boy to play.
Because he's supposed to be. No, it's Ernie McMillan is the very pompous one.
Yes. Right. The one who in. That scene that they cut out where he's saying, you know.
I'm going to point it out. At the end of the movie, when Hagrid has his triumphant return to Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. Sorry, a car almost just hit my house there. I'm telling you, we don't edit these things at all. When my car gets repossessed, you're going to hear it here live. There's just a kid. He looks... He has such a, like, a full chin. He looks like he's running for state senator.
Yeah. Yeah, the Justin Finch Fletchley is like a mini Mitt Romney.
We're not going to get into politics here, but...
let's not talk about Mitt.
Don't vote for Romney for president. Okay.
Trust us, we live through him as governor. Anyway, back to the movie.
Well, thank God we have the new guy now.
Giving him way too much credit. And actually, do we know... No, the Malfoys aren't... They aren't related. Are they in that bloodline?
I don't think it's ever told. He, Voldemort is the heir of Slytherin. The Gaunts right. are in the Slytherin bloodline. I don't think we see the Gaunts on the Black family tree because the Malfoys are on the Black family tree. Is that right?
Yes, they are. Because when Harry finds out, Sirius kind of...
Was there a deleted scene here that explains how Hermione was able to find this textbook? Because in the book, she
has to book, she had to get a note.
It's an autograph.
She gets a note. Well, she gets a note from Gilderoy, and she doesn't want to throw it away because she wants to keep it because it's autographed. But
was there a picture of a beautiful woman there and a creature with three heads next to Polyjuice?
Oh, I didn't really notice. But no, there is no deleted scene about that. They never went that route with it.
Let's see if they somehow managed to improve Quidditch.
The CGI is a little better. I think.
This is actually the last normal Quidditch scene we're likely going to have, unless they put it into Half-Blood Prince, because there's no Quidditch in Deathly Hallows. Joe's told us that. There's going to be none in Order of the Phoenix, none in Goblet of Fire, and the only Quidditch game you see in Prisoner of Azkaban is, unfortunately, taking place during a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. And Harry's got his nice goggles on for that scene.
Why do you always drool every time Harry puts his goggles on?
I think they look kind of funny, actually.
Oh, look, it's Lee Jordan. Oh, and that very witty...
His witty commentary that is non-existent.
Much like our own.
We're doing better than Lee, I think.
Really?
I mean, where are his complaints? Oh, that's blatant foul. Oh, this and that. And come on, McGonagall should be yelling at him to be fair.
Is that a raccoon hat that Lucius is wearing right there? Yeah,
fur that he's got going on. I love his walking stick. That's actually a cool thing in the Noble Collection. You can get his walking
stick. How much is the walking stick?
It's expensive.
We're gonna
everything in Noble's expensive, but you know.
We're pulling up the Noble collection.
Oliver? Yeah.
Does Oliver fall off his broom in every movie?
Well, it's the second one. He's not in the next one, is he?
No, he's not. The Oliver fangirls were very upset about that, I believe.
Oh, God, Ron, put your wand away.
Oh, God. Okay, that...
It'll backfire.
Between
you'll
that
end up
and
up
there's
slugs.
Only one place we're going to find this. Diagon Alley. This movie is just...
There are little parts of it. Yeah, there's too much exposition and parts of it. But
I will say the effects here are much better than...
I like the scene, though. The scene is very well done, I think, with the bludger. It's very suspenseful. I like it.
The walking stick is $95.
Oh, that better be real silver. Or pewter or something. A silver plated set with genuine crystals. That's cool though, because that's actually his wand.
Oh,
so
is
you
it?
Get you yeah. The wand is hidden within the walking stick. So you actually get the wand and the walking stick.
So Lucius
stick.
Actually uses his walking
actually,
stick.
Actually, yeah,
wand?
If you pay attention at the end of the movie when he's mad at Harry and apparently
he pulls,
he's gonna do a Avada Kedavra,
he pulls
it out of the walking stick, doesn't he?
I thought it was like almost like a holster.
I think so. Well, I'll have to watch at the end.
Okay. Why, are we sticking around all the way through the movie? I thought we were going to turn it off about halfway through.
Well, that would be kind of misleading. How is the Quidditch pitch still standing after this? I mean, this is like
great.
Taking out all the
support. The entire Quidditch pitch just collapses in on itself. And then, like, Dumbledore, like, lifts himself up, like, moves the wood off himself and says, Alas!
Ewax. Malfoy, you're such a little... I won't say it.
Oh,
oh look at Colin! Oh, this bludger is just wreaking havoc. It's awful.
I will repeat, how does Hogwarts get a decent insurance carrier? Their rates must just be exorbitant.
Oh, the worst seeker ever. Oh, oh. How did that feel? Oh, I love Malfoy. He's like, oh, God, my pathetic son. Oh, ow. Don't worry, Harry. In a little while, you won't have any bones in that hand.
My friend was waking her 3-year-old son the other day, and when she kind of pushed him a little bit to wake him up, he screamed, "Ow, my nut bag!" And that just reminds me of Malfoy right there. Who was that?
How great of a player is Harry, though, man? He's a trooper. He just keeps playing through the pain.
Oh, that could have hurt. We need a superhero! There she is.
Yeah.
Does Fiente and Cantum usually fire off a blast that blows things up, or does that usually just...
Well, that's the funny thing in these movies is Expelliarmus. I mean...
Yeah.
Okay, at one moment it takes your wand, at another it throws you, like, into a bed.
That's weak. The grass in the background is actually a wall, if you look.
Oh, Hagrid, that is gross.
Oh, Rupert. Keep your day job.
Look, he's Gumby.
I haven't thought about Gumby in about 10 years.
That's disgusting. All of Pomfrey here.
Eventually, for the Pomfrey I picture from fanfic, I haven't seen this scene in a while.
What do you mean?
It's like I have this image in my head of Madame Pomfrey, and I never actually think of this scene. I always think of her at the end of the movie here.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's supposed to be going through a very painful night. He's not looking like he's in pain.
Okay.
Dobby.
Hey, it's Dobby! Can you still buy the life-size Dobby?
Yeah, you can. The old Dobby statue with the sock. Dobby is free! Jeez. But I should be grimacing in pain right now because regrowing bones is a painful process.
It's a nasty business, really.
But not for Harry.
Maim you, perhaps.
Maim you horribly and remove a limb or two, but kill you.
Whoa, Harry beat Michael Gambit?
Ew. Maybe Dobby's ears are droopy because he's just got such a bad home life. It's kind of like when a dog gets sad and the tail's between his legs. And maybe that's why Dobby's ears are droopy.
You're really obsessed about Dobby's ears.
They just look weird.
He's a house elf.
I don't know. Unfortunately, we'll never see what the filmmakers thought Winky should look like because, alas, she'll never make it into the films. Hey, that's Hagrid's line.
What line?
Should have said that.
Don't, I need that!
I need to regrow my bones! He's like rubbing Harry's hand. He's like, it's okay, it'll be all better. So we have...
Do we ever figure out who these two guys are who are carrying the,
I have no idea. They're a force victim.
I thought she called her Poppy.
Oh, poor Colin. Oh, he looks so scared. She's got a tartan robe. No.
Is that your word of the day? I can't say Edvin. I'm sure our listeners are glad to hear that.
I bet if you're British, it's easier to say that. Tartan or something like that. I don't know. No.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, God. Stop saying that. I love when we're introduced to Polyjuice Potion here. Another just little thing. Oh, they're making a potion. And yet, so key to book four.
Okay, you just yelled at me for saying foreshadowing, and then you just described.
But instead of just saying foreshadowing, I actually explain what I mean by it.
You don't think our listeners are intelligent enough to know what foreshadowing means?
Of course they are, but you could elaborate on it.
So you want to talk to them like they're four, is basically what you're saying.
Ooh, Moaning Myrtle. It's a little freakish. This actress is like 40 years old. I think of a movie I saw her in recently.
I believe that would be Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Isn't she in, is she in Bridget Jones' Diary? That might be it.
Look it up.
I don't know. it's a cool looking table.
I don't like how the movies do house points. They have that little dorky little setup over in the corner of the hall there.
Where?
In the back? On the right, those are the house points.
Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah. Because in Half-Blood Prince, they shatter.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, that's where they keep them. Oh, the Dueling Club. Where would fanfic be without it?
See my published works. God. He's so suave.
I have to tell you, everyone, it was... only by my acting like this that I managed to get Danielle. Does it look like he took a little elevator up there? He just kind of
appears. Yeah, it just appears out of nowhere.
Snape can hover. Snape is here.
Look at his long, billowing sleeves. Oh, they're so ridiculous.
Oh, the women over at Snape Cast must love this scene.
I love the little stances that they do when they duel. Look at Snape. So badass.
Okay, that Expelliarmus took about 6 seconds. Expelliarmus!
And apparently so powerful that it flung him back, feet.
By the time he got to the Pell and Expelliarmus, Gilderoy Lockhart had the opportunity to buy a new vacation home and pay all of his monthly bills. Didn't you also block with his Expelliarmus?
Isn't it, you create a shield, the Protego, or Protego, I don't know how you say it, but
mm-hmm.
It's a shield charm.
Yeah, look in the background, Snape.
Malfoy, perhaps? Oh, he just motions to Malfoy, get up here! You feel good with Gilderoy on your side.
I get you back, man.
Hehehehe. And there's another deleted scene here with Harry talking to Justin Finch-Fletchley. And Justin mentions he's Muggle-born. Hey, you cheated, man. Look at that.
How much hair gel do you think Malfoy goes through?
So far, all these spells do is hurl your opponent backwards and make them spin.
Malfoy's groin must have the biggest band-aid on it by the end of the story.
I mean, in the books, don't they do, like, some of the silly spells, like, make each other, like... Oh, what's one of the ones they do? Do they do, like, the leg bind or something? No, I'm going to reread these books soon anyway. Oh, no.
Famous last words. Okay, apparently that is the spell.
How did this man pass his exams at Hogwarts? Or did he? That's a question. Oh, no. That is mini Mitt Romney, I'm telling you.
Mitt Romney is the former governor of Massachusetts, who is a candidate for the presidency, in case you haven't been following the news.
Look at him. I thought the way they handled the parcel tongue was pretty cool.
It's interesting how they... I think of this, too. I just want to comment. I think it's interesting how they do spells in the movies. When I picture them, you know, moving their wand as they say them, and the minute the words come out of your mouth, you know, the spell fires.
Mm-hmm.
In the movies, it's Snape says a spell, and then he can wait 30 seconds, then as soon as he flicks his wand, then the spell activates. It's just interesting.
Well, there's no consistency in the movies with what the spells do.
None at all. No, I do think it's handled very well, because it's interesting reading some fanfics when Harry is trying to talk to a snake, and the snake isn't there, he speaks human. Or he speaks English. When the snake is there, his English instantly becomes parcel tongue. It's an automatic.
Well, this was interesting because when I saw the first movie and I had never read the books, my first thought was, oh, wizards must be able to talk to snakes. I thought it was just part of being magical.
Which is what Harry thinks.
Right, and it's obviously what he thinks here, which is kind of neat because even though he's a wizard and he's got 1 year under his belt, he's still... He's so unfamiliar with the wizarding world, it's kind of funny. But I had the same thought as Harry. I bet lots of people can do it.
After the end, it's Ginny and the Seeds. PolyficWeekly.com. Click on Now Reading. Danielle's giving me a blank, vacant expression, even though she's already read After the End. Hermione's good with pep talks.
Oh, yeah. She makes you feel better.
So is this the library, or are they?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it's a library. It looks like a study hall.
It could be Madame Pince in the background there.
Looks like Malvolio.
I don't think so.
Oh, even his friends are treating him weird. What's up with that?
She looks like Paris from Gilmore Girls, that one in the background there. Deleted scene right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank... Well, no, I'm not thanking them, because these people didn't do anything amazing, but at least they finally got their act together and they put the deleted scene somewhere where they're remotely accessible for this movie, unlike the...
Yeah, you just have to pop in disc 2 and... Oh, deleted scenes!
Yeah, versus...
It's nice and easy.
There's an exam for the first DVD.
I wouldn't have minded if, you know... It was only you had to do it once, and then, you know, you could just access them whenever you want, but... Although there's way more deleted scenes for this movie anyways, 19 of them.
How do you petrify nearly headless Nick, and how do you give him mandrake juice?
That is a good question. I don't know how they revive him. He can't eat or drink. I mean, that's established at the death day party that you don't see, but...
Look at Justin's hair. Kind of looks like Elvis in this one, doesn't it?
Yeah, spiders. Not a fan of the spiders.
Podcast mentioned this. What's up with the little hand flick? She's
I don't get why she has to do the hand motion. Okay. The staircase is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love the phoenix. That's awesome. Remember all the old headmasters? What's the one that's always yakking a lot in the books?
Is it Phineas?
Yeah.
In case we forget to mention this in the next podcast, Dumbledore's office, the set, is actually where Remus teaches Harry how to use the Patronus. If you look at those cabinets we just saw mm-hmm. in that room. The book, he puts the hat on his head to have this conversation.
I believe so. Well, it's kind of odd at the end, you know, when he's in the chamber and he puts the hat on and the sword just like conks him on the head.
Does he put the hat on?
Yeah, he does. And you feel something heavy land on his head. It's like, ow. Fox is awesome.
Just when you think you're having a pretty bad day.
Yeah. Poor Harry. He's like, oh my god! Just spontaneously combusted.
Now, Dumbledore doesn't know that two more people have been petrified. It seems like they kind of forgot to tell him that, and they forgot to talk about it.
No, he must know.
Yeah, they kind of dropped it. Harry's smiling at the bird, they talk about the bird.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I know what you're saying. He came up there
talking about it, there.
And it's like, oh, here's my bird. Forrest Gump, that's my boat. That's my bird. So can, you know, if the story, the legend of the Phoenix, can they just be reborn, you know, infinitely? Yeah, or they don't really have a...
I don't know. They can take the death curse.
Hmm.
I just really enjoy how Hagrid has a dead hen in his hands right now.
I know, I love how when he's always walking around with the dead chickens.
What?
Huh? Well, this is where I sometimes wonder how the story is different. Harry, for once, could just be honest with Dumbledore the first time Dumbledore asks him a question. He's like, is there anything you want to tell me? No. I've been hearing voices around the castle, but no. I'll just...
How would they have changed, though? He would have known that Harry was the heir of... No.
No,
he would have known that he has some of Voldemort's powers, which he finds out by the end of the movie anyway.
Well, that's true.
I don't know how that would have really changed anything. Although I still think, among my theories, is that Harry is in some way a Horcrux, because at the end of this movie it's shown that through Dumbledore, that Voldemort gave some of his powers to Harry, wanting another piece of his soul.
Well, I'm refusing to believe that only because I'm holding on to the fact that Harry will live, and Harry will not be able to live if he's a Horcrux. So I'm just hoping that he's not.
Yeah, there could be ways around that.
And actually, you know what, I don't think that would be that interesting, actually, to make him a Horcrux. That just seems too easy.
What if someone has to kill him? What if Ron or Hermione has to kill him? Or Jenny, oh my god.
Oh, is she that sadistic? I hope not.
No, but to save the world, Harry has to die to save the world. Mm. Oh my god, could you picture if Voldemort does something to make Ron or Hermione a Horcrux?
That, in a way, to me, would be a little more interesting, but... I don't know if I like the whole idea of a person being a Horcrux. I don't know. Yeah, sorry, I love that name. Millicent Bulstrode. Oof, that sounds like a Slytherin. It's pretty incredible that she's able to brew this potion correctly, if you think about it. If it's supposed to be one of the most difficult potions to brew, and she just nails it on her first try.
We actually should talk about that on After the End this week. We're discussing the chapters where Ginny is brewing the Ginny is brewing the Wolfsbane potion. There's a lot of comparisons, I think, to Hermione right there. Yeah, you just have to love how dopey these morons are that they see floating food. And they
just I just love how British people use the word thick to describe people being stupid. Overall, how thick can you get? And their arms are already full of sweets. And then they eat through the paper.
Oh, Jamie.
It's so gross. Oh, good. Look at what we found. It's a thicky.
Good one, dear.
Look at this stuff. Oh, it looks like sewage.
Oh, you had to say that, didn't you?
It does! It looks like sewage.
Then why'd you say it again?
Oh, man. How does Moody... Or Barty. How does Barty drink all that continuously through Goblet of Fire? That's gross. See, if I were them, I would have had, like, something to wash it down with. Like a water or juice or, I don't know, something.
Yeah, or even like a... Perhaps a sherbet lemon?
Perhaps a sherbet lemon. Cockroach cluster.
Are they wearing... Yeah, they're wearing the bigger
clothes. Did they put on... Oh, yeah, they changed. They probably changed before they came on. Well, do you think Polyjuice Potion's like Wolfsbane, where it's completely useless if you put sugar in it? That's pretty neat.
Hey, you remember that from After the End?
What's in the book, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. In that case, we gave Arabelle and Xenia too much credit last week.
That's great. Wicked.
You have to love how these actors got some more screen time and they can't even speak.
Yeah, they have to be dubbed over.
Father Cass.
Poor Hermione. Although they don't deal with the fact that she turns herself into a cat very well. I mean, they kind of just like, oh, she's in the hospital wing. Oh, she's better. I mean, they don't
deleted
really...
scene. Deleted
yeah,
scene.
I know it's a deleted scene, but they don't do much with it. And actually, you know what? Even in the books, Madame Pomfrey is just so uncurious about it. It's like she shows up as a cat. I mean, don't you ask him a bunch of questions? You say, how did this happen?
Apparently they don't have parental notification, probably.
I don't know, I just woke up and
I was... You imagine the letter home to the dentist, Granger, you know?
I know it.
You'd rather get turned into a cat this week. Don't worry, you'll be fine. Great line coming up.
I didn't know you could read, you big stupid person that I hang out with. So now the Slytherin common room is actually under the lake, right?
Yes, it is. It's right, I think, alongside the bottom of the lake. If you look in the background, you can actually see the...
It's pretty cool looking. They got it. It all looks kind of, damp.
On the forum today, I'm actually a member of Hufflepuff House, and I was talking with one of the other members today, and they actually sent me a piece of a fanfic that shows what the Hufflepuff common room looks like, because that's the only common room you really don't get a sense of in the stories here. We know Ravenclaw has a tower, you know, here's Slytherin.
Mm-hmm.
I like those stairs in that one, too.
Harry doesn't disguise his voice at all. It's like, Ron, you have to sound like Crab, but I'm just going to talk like myself.
Take a shot.
Yeah, that's cool in the background. You can see the water. Oh, what a horrible kid. So how old does that make Voldemort?
Voldemort was born in 19... Let's do the math here. I think it was 19... Okay. 50 years before this is 1942.
Well, because actually the book starts in 1991.
Yes. Yeah,
so this would be 92.
So 1942 is when the chamber was opened. What year was Voldemort then? Was he a...
What was he? Is it fifth year?
Probably fifth year, so that makes him 15. So 1932
is
15.
He's 65. So he's in his
60s. He's born in 19... Does that make him born in 1928? Okay, let's see
if he's 15 50 years ago...
No, if he's 15 in
65.
If he's 15... Yeah.
That's all I was trying to figure out.
He'd be
in his 60s. Which means Dumbledore's wicked old.
No, a little old. Yeah, 65 years.
And I can do simple math.
Why did I think he was older than that? Why did I think he was pushing 80?
No, he's not that old.
Well, no, in current time, because 1992 was 15 years ago.
Well, right, but you... Book 5, you know, let's say book 4 at the end, when he's reborn, it's 1994.
And see everyone laughing at my math skills.
Hey, Ron's checking out Hermione's tail.
That is most likely
That's awful.
The skeeviest Daniel.
In a few days, just in a few weeks. Oh, boy.
I love how it's like in the middle of like this massive common area that you have like the flood and no one else notices but these guys.
No.
Half of the East Wing.
Don't they have a plumber?
Maybe that's who that guy was that was carrying Colin Creevy's
stretcher. They shouldn't be paying him too much, I hope, then. Wrong thing to say, Ron. She's so much nicer to Harry.
I love this line.
Think about death, I'm so morose. just drained away now.
It's a great deleted scene with a ghost sitting right there.
Oh, I just love how Jen on the forum had mentioned when she first read, when he rearranges the letters to say I'm one Voldemort, she had to write it down and double check that it actually worked.
And it's still all of like the emotion from the scene. Yeah. She had to sit down and psychoanalyze.
And it's like, ooh, can I do that with my own name? It'd be funny if we all make up evil names for ourselves, and that could be our alter egos on part of the forum.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It's like Father of the Bride, you know, Chloe Zinkman.
They have a daughter named Chloe Zinkman. That deleted scene was really necessary here, because in the deleted scene, they're visiting Hermione mm-hmm. in the common room, and they mention Tom Marvolo Riddle is the owner of the diary, and they mention he was around 50 years ago
right.
because they saw his name on the trophy. He might know who's in the Chamber of
Secrets. Well, that's a great scene, too, because you have Ron like, oh yeah, I kept throwing up slugs all over his trophy, which is
yeah, because now it's like Harry's like, I wonder if the diary knows anything. It just seems out of left field.
Yeah.
Arthur's statement. Never trust anything that you can't.
You can't see its brain. Actually, doesn't Molly say that?
Is it Molly?
That'd be Molly.
It's interesting, too. You ever notice everything big happens at Hogwarts in June?
Mm-hmm.
It's always at the end of the school year.
Nice PJs, Harry. I was just thinking that. Some nice PJs. I like the way they've done this whole flashback. It's good. I like the way they've done it. And I really like this actor that they have playing Tom Riddle. I think he looks a lot like I pictured him.
I'm assuming he'll be back. And,
And it's great because they describe him as a very handsome boy, like young man, but also, you know, as you can see, he can look pretty evil at the end there.
This will be interesting to see how they bring the same actor back in Half-Blood Prince, if this is going to be the same actor, because when was this made? This movie was made in
2002?
Right, so it'll be at least, you know, 6-7 years.
Yeah. But you can do a lot with makeup. I mean, look how young they make Dumbledore look.
Yeah.
Younger. Still looks old, but... with his auburn hair.
Oh, so there was the huge controversy or the huge theorizing amongst the fans that Dumbledore is a Weasley.
Really?
Yeah, because of the auburn hair, they thought he was
wrong. Well, auburn is not the same as ginger.
Well, red.
No, it's more brown.
Auburn is brown?
Well, it's a reddish brown, but it's still brown.
So they thought he was a Weasley?
Okay. I think he's a Dumbledore.
Well, then, a lot of people, I even thought at one point, was guessing that somehow Harry or Ron will use a time turner to go back and become Dumbledore.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that theory.
Well, apparently neither is Joe Rowling, so it's not going to happen.
No, as I recall, too, as we find out in Half-Blood Prince, Riddle wanted to stay the summer over at Hogwarts, right?
Well, yeah, he's like Harry. I don't think he ever wants to leave.
Yeah. It's weird, too, when you think about it. I love how they're so similar, but the paths that they choose are just so different.
Well, it's your choices, not your abilities. Right. And if I were Ben Chain from Muggle Cast, I could have said that in the accent. It's our choices, Harry. Far more than our abilities.
That was awful.
I love you too, Schneckums.
Oh, God. I hate spiders. I'll fully admit I'm like Ron. I definitely don't like spiders. Poor Hagrid.
The fans are trying to figure out what the hell is this when they saw this.
Yeah, when you see the preview, you're like, what is that?
I'm very mixed on Harry just like running off here, like, whoa! Like, where's he gonna go? Oh no, he goes to tell Ron.
He goes to tell Ron,
which
but
is also cut.
But that was cut. awkward. I love that. They're like teenagers. It's great.
But the people from PETA went furious when they found out they were going to chop up the mandrakes.
Oh, God. They're plants.
Neville.
Oh, Miss Weasley really did a number on this in the common room, didn't she? In the dorm room, I should say.
What is that in the middle of the room right there?
That's their heating. Isn't that where it would be a fireplace? Mm-hmm. And they all put their clothes around it to dry. I think. Hey, how did Hermione get up there anyway?
The girls can go in the boys' rooms, but the boys can't go into the girls' rooms.
That seems a little strange to me.
Apparently girls can be trusted, but boys are just worn bags. I love the graph that Oliver has.
We get, like, a little snippet of Oliver Wood at his, you know, strategizing. That's all we get. Oh, I love how he's so into Quidditch. We can't cancel Quidditch. This kid would play even if, like, I don't know, the sky was falling. He would be on playing Quidditch because you can't cancel it.
Play or die trying.
Yeah. Well, win or die trying.
That's it.
Yeah. A wee bit of a shock.
So let's see how Rupert handles this thing.
He'll handle it with a look of indigestion. Common room looks a little different. This movie, I don't know what it is.
Well, no, the upstairs is right above. You can just see some students hanging over the rafters there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Dumbledore knows who it is. He must. Don't you think? He would have known who opened it last time.
And yet they still expelled Hagrid.
Yeah.
That's a good point, because he knows that Tom Riddle is Voldemort.
Mm-hmm. He constantly calls him Tom because it irritates him.
Well, I would too. I would be like Dumbledore.
No, I mean, Dumbledore knows the whole story.
Yes, he must
But you know what? He must not have had enough influence then to really do anything about Hagrid.
Maybe he's the deputy headmaster, though, at the time.
He might not have had proof.
Like, true.
He must not have had proof, because otherwise it would have been able to
Although, that's
it
true.
Out.
Why didn't he eventually figure out that...
Now, I just open the door with my crossbow. That's just what I do.
You just were going to say, I open the door with my crotch.
Poor Hagrid.
That's a good point. You think he'd suspect... Well, yeah, I mean, what's he going to say? It's Tom Riddle. He doesn't know about the diary. He doesn't know about the...
Right. So we have... This is the first time we see Fudge, right?
Mm-hmm. Rock that he is.
What?
The rock that he is.
Oh, yeah. The tremendous leader that is Cornelius Fudge. I mean, even here, I mean, Dumbledore can't prevent them from taking him to Azkaban.
True. Is it the same Fudge from Soon After? Yeah, it must be. Must be the same.
Is it the same? I don't know. Oof. Oh, I just love the bow in his hair. It's so feminine. Oh, Hagrid. This house? Oh, he's a snob and a half. Oh, Fudge has a ponytail, too. I never noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he just doesn't have the stupid little bowl that Lucius has.
Good question. Where does Dumbledore go?
What did he teach? He taught
Transfiguration,
right, when he was a professor?
Because we were talking about in the forums, where does he go at when he is removed in Order of the Phoenix, and there was some suggestion he was off looking for the Horcruxes, but I just...
No, I totally forget, because I know I'm mixing this up with fan fiction, but is Dumbledore in Animagi? Do we know that?
I don't believe it's ever mentioned.
Okay, because I know in fan fiction it's mentioned a lot.
Yes. That would be Swish and Flicky.
Yes, I'm thinking of.
That would be The Silent Siege by Swish and Flick over at Schnoogle. Over at Fiction Alley. No, Schnoogle is the house over at Fiction Alley.
We know Dumbledore can see through.
Fudge is styling right
the,
there.
The invisibility cloak.
Oh, Hagrid.
Oh, nice try, Hagrid. Nope. Feed my dog.
Oh, I love Fudge. He's like the head of state.
Fudge arranging. Is so confused. He goes, okay, time to go. And conveniently, there's a trail of spiders leaving the hut.
That is really stupid. Because every other time you see them, there was just an attack, so the basilisk was nearby.
Right.
Do you think it would have improved the plot of this story if there actually were at least some fatalities from the basilisk? It just seems like it was very convenient that every single person lived. There was a reason for everyone living, it just seemed highly convenient.
Yeah. Although she chose the victims well, because you have Colin, who really always walks around with that camera, so with him it makes sense. Although nearly headless Nick, because what was it with Justin? He saw it through nearly headless Nick?
Yes.
Okay.
Hermione had the mirror.
And Hermione, it makes perfect sense, because once she figured it out, she would have known.
Penelope Clearwater.
No, she doesn't get it.
Yeah, she does. Penelope, Percy's girlfriend. And that's why Percy looks so strange during me.
I don't remember that. I have a bad memory.
It's okay.
Alright, these spiders are too big. If ever one of them ever came near me, I'd freak out. Let alone with what these big, huge ones are that they're walking into.
Danielle, as we're making our way through the dark forest, because apparently Forbidden is not able to be used in this movie, will you please tell the listeners what happened to you when you were a young child and found a spider in your bedroom?
It actually wasn't even a spider. It was something with wings because it was flying around my room. I was like 5, and I was afraid of bugs, and I didn't want to make my father up to go kill it because it was the middle of the night. So I slept in the bathtub. I grabbed my pillow and my blanket, and I went and slept in the bathtub. There were no bugs in there.
Danielle frequently points at bugs, looks at me, and says, "Kill it."
I'm a wimp when it comes to bugs. I can totally feel for Ron. You can make fun of him all you want, but in this case, he can be legitimately scared. Oh, God. Ugh. I hate spiders so much. Although, I can't watch this scene without being reminded of Lord of the Rings with the Shelob. Although Shelob would be, I think, way more threatening. Oh, God. Now, Ron is afraid of spiders because when he was a kid, Fred and George turned one of his teddy bear or something into a spider. They're so mean to him. That's what big brothers are for.
Rupert is just so one-dimensional, isn't
he? Well, he is. He does scared very well, but...
Well, it's interesting, too, because when you look at the dynamic with the kids, Dan and Emma are very close. I think there were even rumors they were dating at one point, if I recall. Rupert, I think even by admission, it's his job, but he's not close to them at all. And I think it kind of shows in his performance. I think Emma, you get that just sense that they're buddies. But with Rupert, he just seems like he phones it in a lot.
Oh, I love it in this scene eventually when Ron's like, "Harry..." He just, like, points up.
So Danielle does when she wants me to kill the spider.
When I was camping 2 years ago, I was out on a dock on a lake, and out of nowhere, this huge black spider just comes crawling up from the underside of the dock. Oh, I've never been so scared. I ran like crazy to get away from that spider.
Was that anything?
You might have been. I don't remember, but I was, like, terrified.
So. It is.
I can feel for Ron.
That's disgusting.
Because I've had friends who have watched this and said, "Oh, God, Ron, grow up." It's like, come on, you're in a forest, and you're surrounded by thousands and thousands of man-eating spiders, you wouldn't be scared. You'd be scared.
Well, this was around the time Lindsay was freaking out in the theater, and I said, I'm sure it will be fine. And she's like, I read the book.
So even after you saw the movie, you didn't go for the books?
No. I don't think I even saw the first... I don't remember when I saw the first movie. I saw Chamber of Secrets was my first experience, and then at some point I must have seen... At some point I saw Philosopher's Stone, and then Danielle bought me the first four books a couple years later in May of 2003. Come on, Expelliarmus, go for it.
Thankfully, they're saved by the car. I gotta say, though, when I read the book, I'm like, yeah, that's the car! I thought that was awesome.
Danielle yelled it out loud at everyone around her.
This book was actually really fun to read. There were a lot of parts of it, like this part included, I just thought was great. Yeah, that's the spell that Snape did, right?
No, that's the spell that Tom Riddle did in the flashback.
Oh, yeah. That's why he knows it.
Right. Duh. Well done, dear.
No, not quite. Oh, God.
Oh,
poor Ron. Oh.
Look at Fang. It'd be great if he shot Ron in the head. Oh. I'm sorry, it's Rupert Grint. I'm not that attached.
All the sound effects here. You can hear them all coming.
That was frightening.
You get a pitter-patter of little feet.
Ugh. Look at Fang.
God, them spiders breathe like rabbits.
Hagrid is a moron. Who says go into the
woods? Yeah, not his best idea. That's for sure. Go into the woods. I'm sure they won't eat you. They don't eat me, so, you know. You'll be fine. Ooh, look at those things move. Why did they stop, though, at the border of the forest, I wonder?
Dumbledore must have put the fear of God into someone.
Yeah, no, it's like, don't you dare come out of the forest.
Well, remind me.
But the little guys are in the school.
Well, yeah, well, they're afraid of basilisk. So those must have been the ones already in the school. Not connected at all to these guys.
That's true.
Now, this car was actually stolen last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Car. I think it was. What is it, a Ford Anglia?
Yeah. They weren't throwing the sun.
Car's like, it's alright, I'll get you back.
He's good there, I'll give Rupert that. What the hell is up with this car?
It's got a mind of its own now. It's awesome. Become another wild animal in the forest.
I think Joe said we'll see the car again. How that will come into play in, you know, the next
book. Yeah, the car will be the secret to everything.
No, Madame Hooch will be. Madame Hooch will come driving out of
the car.
The dark forest in the car.
You know, so many innocent people in this story that just get, you know, they get the shaft. I mean, you get Sirius and Hagrid. They're such good guys, and they get the wrong end of the stick.
Well, this somewhat balanced the Hermione's eye commission for a lot of this book and Ron's eye commission for a lot of the next one.
Thank God, because
I was about to kill him if he was in Prisoner of Azkaban for 5 more minutes. Yeah, like, they couldn't have found that.
No, no, they... Oh, we just happened to see the paper.
This large roll of bunched-up paper in her hand.
I just love that even in a petrified state, it's Hermione who figures it out. These two guys are so dumb, they can't do it. They got Hermione to do it.
I believe the phrase you were looking for was, thick, dear.
Yeah, they're thick. It's a thickie. You know, what do you think of the way they... portray the basilisk? I don't think it's quite scary enough.
Oh, I think it's scary, but someone wrote this somewhere. It may have been Melissa on the podcast. How big are the freaking pipes at Hogwarts that you can carry a
four-foot basilisk? Yeah, I know.
Because one thing they actually do very well is they show the Hogwarts has, you know, traditional toilets. They have, like, you know, the lavatory, they have the sink, and they have the...
Yes. You just can't imagine. Wizards, you know, go the same way muggles do.
Hey, Hermione pees.
I'm really curious now how they revive Nearly Headless Nick. They just kind of spray the juice on him? I don't get it. He can't swallow it. I don't get it.
Outtake.
I won't ask Joe that. If I get to ask a question, how'd you revive Nearly Headless
Nick? Wait a minute. If you get to ask Joe one question, you're going to ask her how Nearly Headless Nick gets revived.
No. Just saying. I'm curious. Well, Hermione figured that out, too, because she's so smart.
Did they actually say she died in the bathroom?
Yeah.
They have an intercom?
I'm sure they just use the sonorous charm.
How did they actually know it was the heir of Slytherin?
Well, because the legend has it that only the heir of Slytherin can open the chamber. That's right. Oh, God. He's such a talking head.
That was just like a flipper.
Oh, was Footwork there?
Mm-hmm.
I actually like Snape in this scene.
Yeah, he kills Dumbledore, but we can look past that.
Yeah, I can look past that. Not really,
but, you know. They hate his guts. Look at Maggie Smith. I want to just kiss her.
Farewell. I'll just be in my office packing. Oh, sorry, I mean preparing.
Alright, now you've pissed off the Gryffindors.
Yep.
What house do you think Lockhart was in?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day.
It's gotta be Slytherin. There's no way he's not in Slytherin.
Actually, you know what? I think Slytherin too, because all he cares about is... Well, no. Well, why do you think Slytherin?
So ambitious. He's so in for himself.
Yeah. Ambitious in a bad way. Or in a dishonest way.
I don't think Slytherin...
Well, that's the truth. That's the thing. He's not hardworking or loyal, so he can't be a Hufflepuff.
Well, no. Look at his predominant trait. His predominant trait is ambition. Personal ambition. That's Slytherin right there.
Yeah.
For those of you guys who haven't done it yet, go to our forums. We have a great thread set up in the Great Hall on non-Harry Potter characters being sorted into their houses.
It's really tough to do, though, actually, I think.
I did that at the Battlestar Galactica characters myself. I love this. Look at Ron. Well, I just realized we both always call this one of the weakest movies. We haven't really complained about anything yet. And we're
ruthless. Know. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I don't know why I have such a bad impression of it in my mind. I think more our general criticism was it just feels too much like the first movie, because they...
Although we didn't really complain about that one.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
You know what? It's, we always complain about Chris Columbus, don't let him come back. You know,
no, I don't think he did a bad job. It's just... I don't know.
I can't picture how Chris would have handled the third movie, though.
I don't think he would have done well with the third one. Well, they said, I read this interesting interview with, Terry Gilliam of Monty Python.
I was distraught!
I know, I love that line. But, Terry Gilliam of Monty Python fame, and because he directs movies as well, and he had been interested in directing these movies, but Warner Brothers wanted someone family-friendly, which they went with Chris Columbus.
Did
but
you
actually,
hear Terry Gilliam on this? Did you hear the story about him a few months ago?
No.
Terry Gilliam came out and completely trashed the Harry Potter films for being corporate entities, basically because he didn't get the Harry Potter film.
Yeah, he became a little bitter. J.K. Rowling actually mentioned that she had wanted him to direct some of the movies.
Well, we joke now. Maybe he'll get Half-Blood Prince.
I'm still waiting for Peter Jackson to do The Hobbit. I'm hoping that happens.
I would really love for them to offer it to Terry Gilliam to see how he backtracks on that one and accepts the movie.
It's a great place to put it. No one would ever think, oh, it's the sink in the girl's bathroom.
See, when I said foreshadowing, you mocked me.
Say whoever came up with the parcel tongue, the way it actually sounds is fairly creative.
I hope they're taking Lockhart with them.
He looks terrified.
It's friggin' helpful.
Well, he is. They push him down first, so at least in that sense, he's somewhat useful. Like a long drop. Obviously, yes. It's sad he agrees with them. Go, Ron.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm enjoying this movie so much more than I thought I would. We were actually going to jump right to Goblet of the Fire because I don't have Prisoner of Azkaban in my house tonight. And we're like, Chamber of Secrets? We're really going to do Chamber of Secrets? It's actually, I will say this now, this is a far better film than Goblet of the Fire.
Him and Myrtle kind of look alike. It's a little weird. Alright. There's no consistency here again, though, because Gilderoy's already been at the bottom for 5 minutes before they make it. Like, it was like straight drop down. Yeah. Okay, I'm fine. And for them, it's like, oh, we're finally here. Now, those would all be
the
chicken bones? Is that what the basilisk eats? No.
No.
No. No, the cry of the...
Why did Ginny kill the chickens?
So she could write in their blood?
Yes. That seems awfully weird, doesn't it?
Oh, no. Wasn't it like the cry of the hen or whatever is fatal to the basilisk or something like that? So she kills them all so that he won't... The basilisk...
The cry of the hen is fatal to the basilisk?
I forget how they put it.
There's no way that's right. Okay, we're going to the lexicon.
You have the book right there. No, go open the book.
Where? Where does it say in the book that the
cry... I'll find it. Give me the book.
Okay. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
I can't wait to reread these.
Oh, here comes the great moment. You can't have Gilderoy Lockhart as the villain. That's like when Star Trek The Next Generation tried to have the Ferengi as the bad guys. It just doesn't work
well.
Yeah.
He's too dumb.
Ow! That had to leave a mark. Oh, look, Ron looks terrified with a shocker.
It says, the basilisk flees only from the crowing of the rooster, which is fatal to it.
Are you kidding me? The rooster is...
The rooster is the fatal enemy of the basilisk. So Ginny... Yeah, what happens is Ginny kills them all and then writes those creepy messages in the blood.
Oh, that's just an interesting plot device. We have visitors outside of our Perfect Weekly studio yelling hello to us right now as we're recording, so we have to acknowledge them. Rock, watch this.
Oh, he's better off.
That's great. I love how he hands Ron the rock the wrong piece.
He's better off unconscious. It's always Harry. Gotta go on by himself.
It's always in June, too, if you notice.
Didn't he just say something simple like open up?
Yeah, because you never get subtitles on the...
Yeah, they don't give subtitles to the parcel tongue.
I wonder if it's like JFK, I am a jelly donut. Okay, Danielle's actually reading the books.
No, right I was now. Just reading the description of the basilisk. Hatched from a chicken egg under a toad. Go figure.
Seems like a song top lyric.
You would think something so deadly would come from a chicken egg and a toad.
I think Trevor is like the father of a basilisk.
Oh, that would be an interesting plot twist.
That would be great at the end. You know, Neville takes out Bellatrix and Trevor just takes out, like, you know...
Malfoy.
No, it's the snake.
Oh, Nagini. Nagini, I don't know how you say it.
I stole that from someone. I think that was Steve at the Lexicon said that.
I don't like the way the scene looks with him running.
Why?
I don't know. Just don't like it. And I hate him for throwing down his wand. It's like, don't you dumbass, that's your weapon. Don't throw it down.
That was great right there.
Yeah.
Although he shouldn't have spoken right there. I think it would have been more ominous if he didn't say anything.
And I like he's, like, slightly fuzzy, because he's not quite fully alive yet. And just slightly
no, alive. He's not.
Yeah. He looked at him the first time.
He acts like almost like an android from Star Trek or something, doesn't he? He doesn't act like, he's too calm, he's too...
But you know what? That's kind of how I picture Riddle, kind of calm, but very dangerous.
Now, this set actually is retrofitted to be the Ministry in Order of the Phoenix, I believe. And they expanded it greatly. So
like
this
the Department of Mysteries would be?
No, like the atrium.
Oh. Okay.
So the Ministry will be huge, I believe, in Order of the Phoenix. It's hard to believe Harry's going to have so many babies with her, isn't it?
Lots of little Weasley children.
Definitely doing a plug here. If anyone is watching this, interested in a great set of Ginny fics, check out, like I said earlier, Swish and Flick over at fictionalley.org. You won't be disappointed.
I just love reading this scene in the book. It's so well written. And I love when she throws in that at some point he's got like a red glint to his eye, and from that point on you're like, oh, I know who this is.
Yeah, I got spoiled on that because I saw the movie first. I have a little smirk that I realize. One thing we want to say too is Danielle and I both agree on this. Philosopher's Stone is the, you know, introduction to the story. Prisoner of Azkaban is the introduction to Sirius Black. Goblet of Fire is pretty much the, you know, the the cornerstone, it's the midway,
it's the
turning point of the story. Order of the Phoenix, you know, continues and concludes what Azkaban brought up. Chamber of Secrets was just, it was like a dead-end story. It was like the story of the week. It didn't really connect to anything, you know. Voldemort left a piece of himself in a diary 50 years ago that, you know, Lucius Malfoy somehow has. It just seemed like, you know, just like this misadventure that was disconnected from everything else until Half-Blood Prince came around and explained that this is a Horcrux. And explained why Lucius still had it and the consequence of him losing it.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes...
It made it so much more interesting.
Right. This story didn't do anything for me until Half-Blood Prince mm-hmm. explained why it was so relevant.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it didn't... Not that it didn't do anything for me. Like I said, I really enjoyed reading it just because I thought it was well written. And it was suspenseful, and I like that. But it became much more significant when you find out that that was a Horcrux.
Right.
And I love... You get the backstory of... Some of the backstory of what Riddle did to his father in the beginning of Goblet of Fire.
Right. I love the echo between that and Half-Blood Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yay, here comes Fox.
It is disturbing me. I am so blown away by this movie, and I always think it's the weakest.
I like the music they have for Fox, but that's really the only deviation we get from the soundtrack of the first movie, which kind of was disappointing.
Never mind.
Because in a movie like this, the music can be very important. It sets the tone. See, he should have put the hat on.
Harry.
But he doesn't think to put it on yet. Although, actually, in the movie, he never puts it on, but in the book, he puts it on.
He puts it on, too, in the office earlier in the book.
Yep. So now I'm assuming that Riddle can look at the basilisk.
Well, he's not really
He's
there.
Kind of, like, impervious to it.
Okay, there was more of that exposition right there. It's like, let's see how, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, something about the way they did the basilisk, it's kind of weird looking. I don't know what I was expecting, but
honey, you're talking over the exposition.
The head of it almost looks more like the dragon's look.
No, there's some connection there.
It looks like a dragon.
I think that's on purpose, though. It's a cross. I always figure there's a cross between a dragon and a snake.
But I don't think it is. Is it?
Well, that's what I
get Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I know the answer's in there, but...
Right back.
So this is cool. Fox proves to be helpful.
Oh, for the love of God, will you stop at the mall?
No, that's for the 5-year-olds in the audience who are like, oh, he beat the snake.
This film is augmented for the visually impaired.
It's almost like the statues of the basilisk look more scary than the basilisk itself.
Well, that kind of made me wet myself, so I'm not sure what you're really going with there, honey. All right. Let me know if Harry makes it, okay?
Well, there we go. We get the basilisk.
I don't mean to interrupt this very intimidating moment with the fangs there, but the first recorded basilisk was bred by Herpo the Fowl.
A Greek dark wizard and a parcel mill.
I think we're breaking copyright laws here, but...
Who after much experimentation found that a chicken egg hatched under a toad would produce a giant serpent. who knew?
Trevor's its daddy. That'd be great if Trevor turned out to be a
key plot point.
This is what I just don't understand, and I need Joe to explain to me. What would happen if he won here? Tom Riddle would come back, Ginny would die, and now you have two Voldemorts?
Mm.
I mean, there's two of them.
That's a good question.
So would the other... Would the,
well, the
would
essence the, of
Voldemort
would
the other Voldemort who's in Romania somewhere? Or in...
Oh, you know what? I wonder what happened, I bet, maybe? You know how, in order to be kind of real again, the soul of Voldemort, whatever, had to join up with Quirrell? Maybe he would just become one with this body. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting, because this is a part of the Horcrux.
Mm.
So, and I guess that's a broader question I have.
Because you know what? Think about it. That's only a piece of Voldemort's soul. It's not completely him. So, I don't know. I think he'd still have to be...
No, I guess... I guess,
I don't know.
I guess my question is, Voldemort didn't die because his Horcruxes are anchoring him to the Earth. So, would the broken baby-like Voldemort that's in Albania, not Romania, Albania, if he collected all of his Horcruxes together, would he in some way be able to augment himself? Because really, that's just a Horcrux center.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Danielle, tell everyone your theory. We don't know this is a Horcrux until a few books, but tell everyone.
Oh, yeah, no, this is just something that I wondered. I mentioned it on the forum. Knowing that it's a Horcrux now, and that to me it seems there are very specific ways in which to destroy. And talking about the diary. It seems to me there are very specific ways to destroy a Horcrux. It's not like you can just, you know, stomp on it and it's gone. I'm wondering if this could only have been destroyed by the basilisk tooth, the venom in it. Or how else would they have destroyed that diary? That's what I'm wondering. I don't think you can just set the thing on fire, you know? I don't think there's an easy way to destroy it. So in which case, if the only way to destroy it was the fang, they got pretty lucky. That Harry just thought to himself, I'm just going to stab the thing.
I just really, if I could have put a thought bubble over Tom Riddle right there, it would have been, you killed Kenny.
Yeah. You bastard.
It makes me want to read Deathly Hallows so much because I want to know exactly what they have to give up and what they have to sacrifice to take out four more of these Horcruxes.
Oh, I know it.
I mean, it's the biggest fluke in the world they got this one.
Yep, it is.
Oh my god, I renamed him Captain Monologue. He's worse than Voldemort from Goblet of Fire.
Voldemort loves to hear himself talk.
Oh, Ginny. I think Jen in the forums is possibly, you know, euphoric when Ginny wakes up and finds that her knight in shining armor has saved her.
See how worried he gets? He's like, damn! There goes a piece of my soul.
Well, that's interesting, too, because you don't build a Horcrux with a way to kill it.
Well, no, that's true.
So why would... What is it about the basilisk's venom that would allow the Horcrux to kill it?
I don't know. See, I think it's more complicated than it seems. At least it's... I don't know. I don't think it's as... I think that's probably key.
Well, the venom in the fang and the basilisk descend from Salazar's Slytherin.
Right.
So maybe it has to be something personal to...
Because we don't really know how... We don't know how Dumbledore destroyed the ring.
You have to imagine he slipped it on his finger somehow.
Yeah, we don't know what happened there.
These are only lines in the movie, except Mummy, where's my jumper?
Where's my jumper?
Yeah. This is her next line in the movie, are you serious?
I think it is. I mean, you see her otherwise, but she doesn't say anything.
You know what's very interesting? We always used to talk about how Bonnie Wright could never play Ginny, you know, in the later books, and how she'd have to be recast. I think she's awesome as Ginny. I think she really grew into the role.
Well, I don't think you can say that because even in Goblet of Fire, she barely has any lines.
But she...
I love Fox looks at him like he's kind of measuring him up. I like that.
Fox knows so much about what's going on here.
Mm.
No, I think she definitely grew into the role. I think that she... And you're right, she's had very few lines, but she almost seems as though she could handle it. She's
Well, I think she can handle it, yeah.
I guess she looks older. She looks the part now, I guess, is what I'm going for here.
Because, I mean, I'm trying to remember how Joe describes it in Half-Blood Prince when Ginny and Harry kiss. It's like, she's got this determined look in her eyes. She's just like, I don't know. She's just this confident person. That,
all right, now where are they?
I don't know where that is. Is that an alternate way out of the chamber? Because that's not how they got in.
But it looks so great, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Better than going up a tube.
Oh, it's stupid.
It's a series of tubes.
Ted Stevens, senior senator from Alaska. Look him up.
I love Dumbledore. I love the way he says it. Now you're both expelled. I think he got this scene right. I love Richard Harris in this scene.
I think you can almost see my love for these movies go down the tubes as soon as Richard Harris walks off the stage.
Yeah. He really brought something to the role. He captured it. And I know he didn't read the books, and so maybe it's not fair to levy that criticism against Michael Gambon, but I don't know. It's just...
I think what's so shocking is that there's so many... characters in this series that, I'm sorry, there's so many actors in this series that bring so much to their roles, but if they were recast, you know, obviously you don't want to be the new guy on the block because everyone compares you to the old guy, but God, to go from Richard Harris to Michael Gambon is like, you should bring me in and have me do it. I mean, it would just be the same effect and I could use the money more than they probably could.
I love how Harry in the book even notes that they even sort of look alike. It's,
yeah.
It's kind of freakishly alike.
This is a great scene right here.
Yeah.
A lot of people think he means Horcrux. So.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Really?
I don't think he's a Horcrux. Because think about it. What was he going to do? Turn a dead baby into a Horcrux? I mean, not for nothing, but... I'm not trying to be gross.
It was accidental. I'm all thinking right. At the moment.
Well, maybe, but I don't think so, because you would think there'd probably be a very complex spell.
I don't think so, because a lot of people think when he flicked his wand there in Dumbledore's office, that was what did it in Half-Blood Prince, in the flashback, when he was trying to get the D.A.D.A. job.
But we don't know if that's true.
I love this line.
Mm-hmm. We're still bloody.
Obviously, we don't use proper blood safety here at Hogwarts. I love you, man.
Oh, God. Lucius is back.
The 5-year-olds feel much smarter that Harry got that long.
I know.
Does he beat... No, he doesn't beat
Dobby?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
No, I thought he was going to whack him right there for some reason.
Oh, He just is so good as Lucius.
I actually want
just the way he talks.
Look at Dobby down there. I actually want to hit him with my car, though.
Who? Lucius?
Yeah. No, Dobby. I want to hit Dobby with my car.
Oh, you're weird.
I am not. Why do you date me if I'm not weird?
Just kidding.
That's just a weird response. You think it would be, but he's dead, you crazy old man. I mean...
And I was just like, ah! Oh, Dobby. I love Dobby. It's great. Anymore. So... Is there, like, an inkwell kicking around? That always struck me as kind of a non-Harry line.
Yeah.
Harry doesn't toot his own horn. He's I don't know.
He's not that self-confident.
No, he's not. Especially this early on. He's not at all.
Unless he's 12.
Don't worry, I will be. I don't like that.
And now with an enormous amount of respect to the canon, Lucius is about to execute Harry.
Yeah, that's awful. It took us forever to notice this, too. That
we actually noticed it, I think, right before Pottercast did, so I don't want to act like we're stealing it from them, but...
We were watching this one day, and we're like, oh my god, what is Lucius about to do? If you listen to him, he's about to do the killing curse on Harry. So we're assuming that the diary is just completely useless now.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't they need that for something? Like, couldn't that be somewhat useful? Here's the question, did Lucius know what it was?
I don't think he knew it was a Horcrux.
But he knew that...
Because he would have... I don't think he never would have given it away if he knew what it was.
But did he know that Voldemort was inside it in some way? Because why did he put it in Ginny's pouch to begin with?
Well, I think it was one of those things where he wanted to get rid of it because it would have looked odd to have it, but... I don't know why he gave it to
him. Hold on, Dobby's about to wet himself.
Yeah. I love it. Dobby's free.
I love the hand.
Yay, Dobby. Right, go, Harry. Listen for it. See?
Yeah, was that on the walking stick, though? Or was
yeah.
That the... Okay.
Pulls it right out of the stick. Oh, look at that. That's
now,
awful.
Now, what would Dumbledore have done if, like, the one destined to kill Voldemort was executed outside of his office. Do they not have any security at all?
I know.
I love the finger pointing.
Now take your stick and go home.
It's actually a pretty stupid thing to request.
He'll actually, you know, he'll repay him by giving him lots of mismatched socks.
No, it's like, you know, 20 minutes later, Harry's going to be, like, hanging from the side of the castle and Dobby won't do anything.
I think Dobby noted the sarcasm.
I don't think Dobby noticed anything other than what he is specifically told. Oh.
Well, Filch's got his cat back.
No, I actually heard that Emma was closer to Dan here
yep.
than Rupert. And
she didn't want to hug her.
I mean, she's 12. She didn't want to hug Rupert. So this is actually...
But at a point, you're professional actors get over it.
Yeah, she's 12.
Yeah, and an accomplished actress at 12, she does what she should do what she has to do. I mean, you don't think you compromise a scene from it.
I don't think she stopped production, but I think they kind of rode around her.
Well, in a way, I mean, I don't mind it because... Well, like, Ron's got a good look on his face there. That's good.
Really work up the Harry from Iron Ship in these movies.
It's not good. I was gonna say that the
who still can't speak. Yeah, she used up her lines a lot in this
movie. The wardrobe department and the costumes. I think they're so much better for Dumbledore in the first two movies. I love his robes. They're also very regal looking.
Why don't they put
and Gambit wears like gray. Why don't he wears gray robes and a fez?
But why don't they put Gambit in them?
I don't know. Why do they let him have an Irish accent? It's weird.
Watch Hermione.
Yeah, I know. And I've never done that. Yeah, that must be Sinister right over there. Yeah. That's sitting next to Snape.
Well, do you think of Hagrid's Return taking up the climax of the movie?
A little overdone.
Actually, pass the book.
I mean, it is significant because he's coming back from Azkaban and it's like he's finally been proven right. But, but I think it's just a tad overdone. I love that look Dumbledore gives Ron.
Harry didn't know whether the best bit was Hermione running toward him screaming, "You solved it, you solved it," or Justin hurrying over from the Hufflepuff table to wring his hand and apologize endlessly for suspecting him, or Hagrid turning up 3:30, cuffing Harry and Ron so hard in their shoulders that they were knocked into their plates of trifle. Or, and it goes on from there. I mean, this is literally one line from the end of the book.
Mm.
Although, you know what? I will say this. I understand why they put this section in, because Hagrid essentially lost everything because he was wrongly accused 50 years ago, and it's important.
Well,
I
love the hug.
Yeah, and it's important to acknowledge that, and it's important to redeem Hagrid and help explain why in future movies he becomes a professor and why he is expunged. It doesn't.
So I guess it does kind of.
But you know what? They don't do a good job in this movie. They don't do enough. They don't put enough emphasis on the fact that Hagrid was wrongly accused.
They bring it up, though.
They bring it up, but they dance around it. It's almost, like, you have to really, right there, there's Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Justin. Ginny.
It's tough to, they really don't do a good enough job, really.
Right, if they wanted to make such a big deal at the end, they could have. That's why they don't want to meet Hagrid now.
Hermione crying.
Well, because Hagrid actually cries very easily, too.
Bye-bye, Richard. It's cute. Richard Harris.
Farewell, Richard. We love you.
Replacement bites.
And you know what? We were misled, too, because when you and I, one of our friends that we know from a coffee house we volunteer at, who is also a big Harry Potter fan of the books, she saw Prisoner of Azkaban before we did, and we asked her, you know, oh, how's the new Dumbledore? And she said, oh, you can't even tell there's a difference.
In fairness, here's my problem. I think that this movie, you know, in retrospect, it's a solid movie. It does a good job at, you know, going through what the book needs to go through, as is the first one. These first two Christopher Columbus films,
well, the most
which we
canon,
just talked about,
sure.
They're the most canon-centric. You know, they may not, you know, deviate, you know, for artistic purposes, but they're the most canon-centric, and the problems I have with them are essentially the screenwriting, the enormous exposition,
they talk more than they do, show.
As anything that, you know, Tom Riddle says, you know, in this one, or, you know, Voldemort. Now, the screenwriting is awful in these movies, and it's going to get worse. I appreciate Alfonso Cuarón's direction so much in Prisoner of Azkaban that it almost makes up for the fact that the screenwriting is just terrible. I don't appreciate Mike Newell's direction at all, and I think the screenwriting is terrible, and the fourth movie is by far the weakest for me. There's no, hands down, no question. I dislike the fourth movie the most out of these. But what I think saves in Prisoner of Azkaban, because Alfonso Cuarón, I think, you know, and I'll make fun of, you know, the Ravens. I mean, at some points he makes just decisions that are dopey, but they are bold. And I think that his direction kind of saves Michael Gambon. I can tolerate him in Prisoner of Azkaban. I think he brings that whimsical nature to Dumbledore that Richard Harris just didn't have and couldn't do. And even Richard Harris's first scene is Dumbledore in the Great Hall. You know, at Hogwarts, I think is atrocious. He comes,
but across, that's a lot to do with the screenwriting.
It's all to do with the screenwriting. It's entirely
due.
I
mean, they can't all be like.
Yeah, they don't write the words.
They can't all be. They're not all like Ivana Lynch, who has the guts to stand up and say, "No, Luna wouldn't do that," because she knows the books back and forth. And good for her for doing it. I mean, she stands up and says, "You know, that's not my character," but. They're not all going
to
do that.
Yeah, and you aren't going to have, you know, Richard Harris standing up saying, well, no, I need to say nitwit, flipper, augment, tweak, whatever he says, because he didn't read the books either. So I think that that Michael Gambon is passable in Prisoner of Azkaban just because the screenwriting, you know, was not terrible and or not as terrible as it is in 4, and I think that, you know, Alfonso kind of helps him through it. And he does bring that whimsical nature to Dumbledore that I think is sorely lacking. So even though the screenwriting I think is not very good in the next movie, I think that Michael Gambon kind of holds his own. I think in Goblet of Fire, everything collapses. Hermione has PMS the whole time. You know, Ron continues to be an ass. I think it's an awful, awful movie, but, you know.
Fred and George are in it and they have more than 2 lines.
But watch it with us and we'll explain to you why we hate everything.
No, there are
so
parts of it that are good. There are.
There are, but it's the worst movie of 4.
Yeah, I guess. So anyway, back to the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, is that what we just watched?
Yeah. So I guess I like it better than I think. I don't know why I always think I don't like it.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I think if I had to rate my films in order of favorites, I'd probably say 3.
I'd probably say 3-1-2.
3-1-2-4.
Yeah.
And this movie actually wasn't that bad. I think 4 is just so panned in my mind that
I would just love one day just to see. I don't know. You know what I thought is that they'd make a great miniseries.
I actually thought that it's written in enough of a sense that you could actually have like each. You could have like a 7-year TV show and have
each. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Although. I think they're definitely going to have to redo these because I think capping them at 2.5 hours and cutting whatever you have to. And here's the thing.
And we've seen, too, that the argument that it won't be popular in the theater, that doesn't hold up because your Lord of the Rings that clocked in at over 3 hours and they did tremendously well. Now, granted, you have a somewhat different audience, but I think that, you know what? No, I think that the Harry Potter fans would be even more willing to see it and to stay for a 3-plus-hour movie. I think it would go over well. Maybe not for the 5- and 6-year-old fans, but you know what? I mean, the majority of us, we want to see these movies done right.
Oh, between the members of our forums, I think we could put the movie into the black.
Yeah.
I think you're right, and I think that... Here's the thing. One of my favorite TV shows is Battlestar Galactica, and they release a podcast every week where you hear the executive producer talk about how they made the episode. And he keeps saying how he cuts... He's always 20, 30 minutes over when he writes and films each episode, and what he was always taught is cut the character pieces, cut the little, you know, human moments, you know, to make room for the plot. And what he does is he always cuts the plot and you know, simplifies the plot as much as possible and leaves in those little character moments. I just can't help but feel that that's everything that we lose in these. We lose, you know, Molly Weasley. We lose, you know, the hug with Harry and Goblet of Fire. We lose so much of that human touch that makes us love the story because we have to cram in more plot. And then we even lose the plot. I mean, we bring in, you know, McGonagall teaching the kids to dance, but we leave out Priori and Cantantum. We leave out the Marauders map. I mean, there's just so much that gets cut from these.
It's all the little subplots that get cut.
Yeah.
All the little things that go on. in the background. We just don't see.
Exactly.
I think we're almost at the end of the credits.
we're hanging on to the end of the credits, for those of you who don't realize there's actually more of the movie left. Which, how did we find that out? We found that out on the...
Is there a scene coming up?
There's a scene coming up. We found out watching the PowerCast.
That's right.
So hopefully the sound quality will be a bit better tonight. Last night we were trying to figure out how to position the laptop for maximum gain. Maybe Chi is on our forums this evening.
It's a very long credit list. I'm always amazed at how many people actually work on a film.
I think
the sheer manpower to make these things, but it's crazy.
Moon Jung Kang was a digital modifier. Someone named Lance did the digital painting.
It reminds me of the show, the British version of the show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? We have to read the credits at the end and make it funny. That was a funny show.
A man named Bob was the texture supervisor. Really thought we'd finish right on time, or we could just ease into the last scene and do, if we fast forward, we're going to lose everybody.
I know.
This is awful. Thank God we've been doing this for 2 hours and 40 minutes.
So actually, all the movies clock in about 2.5 hours.
About two,
right?
And a half.
Yeah.
I actually hate to say this, but I think Goblet was actually...
I think it's funny, because, like, I remember when the third movie was in production and pictures and whatnot started to come out about it, I had such high expectations for that movie because that's still my favorite book out of all six, and... I'm like, man, if they mess this movie up, I'll just be so mad. And I was really impressed with it. So, that will be the next film we comment on. And again, you know, it does deviate from canon a bit, but they make it work.
Okay. We're getting near the end. They're telling us it's in Technicolor.
Dolby Digital.
Did we thank people yet?
It wasn't aware we had to thank anybody.
No, that's them. Usually they thank, you know, like the people of, you know, Eastern Europe for allowing us to film in your country. Okay.
Aww. Who am I?
A little straitjacket. Tana's like Vernon in the first movie.
Yeah, it does when the letters keep coming.
Ugh.
I forgot about that.
Well, this concludes our commentary for The Chamber of Secrets. I have to love how the closed captioning right there just told us we were reading it in English all that time. So, I'm Ryan.
Ooh, I'm Danielle.
Danielle's falling asleep.
I'm yawning.
And we will see you for The Prisoner of Azkaban. Have a good night, everybody. Danielle, would you like to tell people good night?
Good night.